Some crimes are never forgotten. Others are lost to history. Those are the ones we focus on in Crimes of the Centuries, a history meets true crime podcast revisiting murders, trials, and frauds that once dominated headlines. I'm Amber Hunt, your host and a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. If you like true crime that feels both cinematic and historical, find Crimes of the Centuries wherever you get your podcasts.
Burt Show.
I've taken such pride in one little area of my life that culminated yesterday in putting me in a position that no man my age should be in. And it's this. I still don't know how to tie a tie.
Really?
Still don't know how to tie a tie. And it has always been a badge of honor for me. Grew up in San Diego, getting dressed like formally in San Diego. You guys have been. It's such a casual city, right?
It is.
Mm-hmm.
So at some point when there were others learning how to tie a tie, I dug in on my Californian-ness and said, I'm never going to learn how to tie a tie. Man, I'm going to wear that through life. And I have. So to this day, I don't know how. So I found myself yesterday at a men's warehouse being taught how to tie a tie from a 19-year-old.
That's so cute.
In the middle of the story yesterday. I'm just like, you know what? Maybe my ego has gotten in the way here. But Kristen and I are going to Kentucky this weekend, and there's one really special night where you got to get all dressed up, day where you got to get all dressed up and wear a suit and a tie and the whole thing.
Yeah, so you're going to have to put your California self on a shelf.
Yeah.
And tap into Suit Bert. So
Southern formal Bert.
Yes. Yeah, so we're going to Kentucky because we're going to go to the UK Auburn game this weekend. But tomorrow we're going to a place called Keeneland. And Keeneland is the horse track there in Lexington. And it's gorgeous. It's immaculately kept. It's beautiful. It's stunning. It's like old English stone vibes. And because, you know, we're extra and I'm from Kentucky. We know quite a few people there. We have connections. And instead of just going to general admission Keeneland, we're going to the clubhouse.
Oh.
We're going to the fancy part of Keeneland. But they have a very strict dress code if you're in the clubhouse. Like men, suit and ties, no denim. I mean, it's like it's a whole thing. So I bought my Keeneland outfit. I'm so excited. And it's going to be interesting because I can't remember the last time I saw you in a suit and tie.
Amanda's been so stressed about this because we both read the
dress code?
The dress code, yeah, over and over and over again. And we're all going up there for our friend's birthday. Our friend Joel is having a birthday, and he's an Auburn guy, and Auburn is playing Kentucky. So it all makes sense that we go to Lexington and have a great time, right? So she goes, and she uses the same app that you did. She's been bragging about it now for a month that she loves so much.
Oh, Newly, where you rent your clothes.
Yeah.
Oh, God, stop. Free ads, but whatever. I'm still mad that they won't sponsor me.
So she got her dress and put it on, and she looked great in it. Super, super hot. And then we went over the dress code again, and it had some midriff showing. You can't even show that.
Mm-mm.
So she was scrambling yesterday to try to figure out what to wear, and we're leaving this morning.
Yeah, we leave today.
So the whole Keeneland isn't like this. It's just this one special clubhouse, right,
that
you guys set up for Joel.
Yes, because Keeneland is only open 2 months out of the year. It's open in April and October because Kentucky has a rule only one racetrack can be open at a time throughout the entire state.
Really?
Yes. So, like,
so
that's
they
why,
rotate?
Yeah, so Churchill Downs is open in May.
Huh.
Yeah, and then there's another one in Northern Kentucky that's open at different times. Now, you can go. There won't be live horse racing. There'll be simulcast, so you can still go and get in, but you're not going to see a live race.
So you could bet on races from Keeneland, even though they aren't in Keeneland. It's like off-track betting.
Yes, yeah, 1,000%. So what were we talking about?
This formal place in Keeneland.
Oh, yeah. So the clubhouse, yes, super fancy, super bougie, hoity-toity. You're going to have like a lot of the horse owners and stuff like that will be hanging out there and whatnot. And then the Keeneland general admission, I mean, you see people that they'll be dressed like us in general admission, but you also see people in shorts and jeans and, you know, everything in between.
I just had a thought. I wonder how many times I'm going to be asked if I'm like a retired jockey.
Uh-oh. You have to run with it.
I will run with it.
Oh, you got. Oh, we gotta find you like a training, like the training facility name that you can throw out.
Okay, all right.
Yeah,
and I'll wear some cool shades that like former jockeys and the owners wear. Yeah. Although I don't have one of those really fancy designer suits.
My man that taught you how to tie a tie. Which knot did he teach you?
Oh yeah, what knot are you gonna do?
I have no idea. I didn't have it down by the time I left Men's Warehouse yesterday. I ran out of like patience after about 2 minutes. I'm like, dude, I'll YouTube it.
Should we? You know how to tie a tie?
I do.
We should get a tie in here, and Mo will teach you.
Okay, we'd have to. Well, it's too late, or we'd have to do it today, right? Yeah, during this show. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The knot is important for the suit and the occasion.
Is it?
Yeah, it's a lot of knots: Oriental knot, Trinity knot, Four in Hand knot.
What? You know how to do all of them?
No, but I just know that they exist.
The Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
I just need the like bar mitzvah knot. Or the clip-on knot. Maybe that's the one.
Yeah, let's get some Boy Scouts in here and teach you how to do a knot. All right, do we finally know who called the FBI on Diddy? I can't believe this news just sort of randomly dropped yesterday, and it didn't really get picked up by any outlets. I found about this all from TikTok and people sharing information from interviews that they had seen. But there's a report coming out from Jamie Foxx's upcoming Netflix comedy special, which hasn't been released, by the way, where apparently in his comedy special, he makes a claim that Sean Diddy Combs poisoned him, and that's what caused his stroke, and that's what led him to get into the hospital last year. Do you remember that? We're like, what's going on? Yes. He was filming a movie in Atlanta, ends up in the hospital, is very cryptic about what's going on with his health, like isn't saying, oh, it was a stroke, oh, it was a heart attack. And we're all like, oh, he's just so old. Like, he's just working too hard. He's stressed. He had some kind of heart attack. But he is allegedly claiming in this upcoming comedy special that it was because he got poisoned.
But it's comedy special. So is it a joke that like he doesn't want to tell the real reason why he's in the hospital, so he's just saying that instead?
So that was my first thought. But I haven't seen it yet, but according to the people who have, they said that on stage he made it apparent that he wasn't joking.
Really?
The tone shift.
His tone, he shifted his tone to let people know this is not a part of the jokes.
So what would be the motivation there for Diddy to try to poison?
So here's what the rumors are saying.
Okay.
So celeb bodyguard Choke No Joke also claims that Diddy beat Jamie Foxx, leading to the hospitalization. But I'm trying to let me make sure I know who said this. Big Homie C said that basically there are tapes where Jamie Foxx is in these freak off videos, which are like those very sexual parties that led to a lot of the allegations that Diddy was sex trafficking people. And so he was called in as a witness, Jamie Foxx was, and basically he was poisoned so that he couldn't rat out Diddy to the authorities. So then once he gets called, or once he goes to the hospital for allegedly getting poisoned and or beaten, he calls the FBI on Diddy and makes sure that he gets his dues.
No way.
Yeah, it's interesting. And this is not the first time Big Homie C has said this. He said it before, but it didn't get any traction because I don't think people, they just thought it was salacious and just like, you know, gossipy. But
guy trying to grab some clout, but now it seems like it has some credibility.
And now you wonder if, I always thought that Jamie wasn't telling us because he was saving it for his special, which would make sense, but now you wonder if he couldn't really tell us, and now that Diddy is compromised, he's able to actually say it freely.
Well, now, the special's gonna come out soon, right?
I don't have a release date for it, but it does make me wonder, what did he know at the time that he filmed it that made him feel comfortable saying it? Because I was at Heather McMahon's special in Atlanta that was filmed a year ago and it just came out.
Exactly.
So it makes me want to know, like, at what point did he know that he was going to be safe to be able to say that?
Because that's what I wanted to know, was when it was filmed. Mm-hmm. Like, this obviously had to have been filmed more than likely before the public got the news and all these allegations came out and all these charges came out against Diddy.
It's also a lot of speculation right now. This feels like the kind of thing that if it was a joke, that for clickbait, people would make it bigger than it really is. So we just don't know yet. We haven't seen it yet.
But again, Jamie wouldn't know that this would be clickbait because he would have filmed this prior to the world finding out all this stuff about Diddy and his freak-off parties.
Depending on when he filmed it. Which we don't know.
We don't know when filmed, and I don't know when it's getting released. I can assume that it's sometime soon because obviously, like, if people have seen it, it's maybe going into like audience testing to see like when it should get released. But I mean, it had to have been somewhat soon.
If a celebrity, you know, as we're reacting to this in such a shocking way, if another A-list celebrity comes out and says they are the victim of this, does it have more credibility to you guys because it is a celebrity rather than the dozens of people that have already come out and said, this is what happened to me at the party?
If honestly, at this point, if it involves Diddy, I see it all the same. Mm-hmm. Celebrity, non-celebrity, I take it all just as serious.
Well, I do think celebrities have more to lose. Like, I think if you're somebody that doesn't have a public reputation and you're saying, oh, well, I was at this party or this happened to me with Diddy, you don't really have as much to lose. So to an extent, I do think a celebrity does have more credibility. What I do find really interesting that's also coming out from all of these reports is people are noting, or a lot of the rumors are coming out that what he used to poison people was cyanide. And if you do not, if cyanide isn't completely effective, like if it's not a big enough dose, it can actually cause pneumonia, which a lot of people are noting was Kim Porter's cause of death, right? Mm-hmm. And a lot of people in his camp have also died of, or have also caught pneumonia. So now people are wondering, is this our first celebrity serial killer?
All right, so I'm wondering, as I'm trying to figure out, like, you know, as we're figuring this all out on the fly, I think he did a 3-night stand-up special in Atlanta October 3rd, 4th, and 5th.
Okay, so that was very recent.
Yeah.
So maybe that's why he was able to finally speak about it, because Diddy's compromised.
Yes, because it was titled What Had Happened Was, mm-hmm. An Evening with Jamie Foxx, and that happened earlier this month in Atlanta. And maybe they're turning that into the comedy special.
Possibly.
Yeah, quick turnaround. All right, Cardi B has been hospitalized with a medical emergency. Why did she cancel, or sorry, does it have anything to do with the baby that she just had? I'll explain on your next E-Buzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
Spring is giving fresh start vibes, like suddenly you want to open the windows, drink more water, and maybe act like you have your life together. But when dinner rolls around and you're this close to ordering takeout again, ButcherBox can help. They deliver premium, clean protein straight to your door. No antibiotics, no added hormones, no mystery ingredients. Just real food that actually fuels your body instead of slowing it down. Effortless glow-up energy. But make it dinner. For over a decade, ButcherBox has led the industry with meat and seafood that's antibiotic-free, hormone-free, and independently verified. Because when it comes to fueling your body, quality isn't extra. It's everything. Clean, whole protein means better support for strength, metabolism, and that steady, all-day energy we're all chasing. As an exclusive offer, new listeners can get their choice between chicken breast or top sirloin for a year, or ground beef for life. Plus $20 off when you go to butcherbox.com/pods. That's right. Your choice of chicken breast or top sirloin for a year or ground beef for life. Plus $20 off your first box and free shipping always. That's butcherbox.com/pods. Don't forget to use our link so they know that we sent you.
Some crimes are never forgotten. Others are lost to history. Those are the ones we focus on in Crimes of the Centuries, a history meets true crime podcast revisiting murders, trials, and frauds that once dominated headlines. I'm Amber Hunt, your host and a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. If you like true crime that feels both cinematic and historical, find Crimes of the Centuries wherever you get your podcasts.
I realize, as we're talking about Messy Mikey here, who's only now seen two Disney movies in his entire lifetime. Two! How is that even possible? That one of my bucket list items has to do with Disney. I was just talking to our engineer Chad about it. You guys know that underneath Disney are all sorts of tunnels that take you from one side of the park to the other, right?
Makes sense.
Kids aren't allowed down there at all because, you know, Mickey's hanging out in his leisure time. And all the characters down there, but you can get from one end of the park to the other in like minutes, and you could take like VIP tours. You got to pay a little bit for it. It's less than you think it would be, but all the times I've been down at Disney World for Burt's Big Adventure and everything, I've thought about it a million times. It's now become a bucket list item. Gotta see it.
You want to see the underbelly of Disney?
I want to see the underbelly of Disney. So, Mikey, how is it possible you go this long in your life only seeing two Disney movies now, and only because we assigned you this?
I don't know. I'm a cold-blooded American, and I won't take any more of that accusation.
I'm putting this on your parents, not you.
No, I got good parents. They're good people. I don't know. I just didn't watch Disney movies. I like Napoleon Dynamite.
Can you not have both?
I had a CD of Napoleon Dynamite. I don't even know how you watch movies back in the day. Blockbuster?
Not with a CD. That's for sure.
All right. So we had you review Frozen. You had never seen Frozen. Is there anybody else in here that hasn't seen it?
I haven't seen it.
Mo has not seen Frozen.
Nope.
Why
would you?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, unless you're on First Big Adventure and you're hanging out with one of the kids. Yeah, probably not for you. Yeah.
Exactly.
Love is an open door.
Is it now?
Shut it.
What just happened?
All right. My last time to watch, what's it called? Beauty and the Beast. Mm-hmm. My big complaint was the songs were just ruthless. They're just pounding you over the head the whole show.
Good thing there's no songs in Frozen.
Well, we start off, they're breaking the ice. Not a bad song. We break the ice, we build the ice, we break the ice again. Something like that. It's something like that. But that one was a hit, actually. That was a good song. And so going into this movie, I was dreading it. I pushed it off for as long as I could. And then last night at like 8 o'clock, I was like, I got to just do it. I got to watch Frozen.
So I'm just curious if you can paint a picture. Where did you watch it? Because you're staying with your parents right now. So are you in your room watching it on a TV, on a laptop?
I have a massive beanbag, and then I stack like 4 pillows up, and so my neck is all like crooked, like staring at the TV straight while my body's laying down almost flat, which is not actually the most comfortable. But I just laid there and watched it. I had like 4 fans on me.
Okay. You felt about Frozen the way I do about like Love is Blind. I know our listeners are watching it, so I put it off having to watch it and watch it and watch it because I know it's going to come up.
Yeah.
You're the same way with Frozen.
Yeah, and I just know this movie was not built for me. This is not like it. They didn't have this guy in mind whenever they created this movie. But
you are not the target audience.
It is not. But my rating is a 7.3, which I think is pretty high.
Yeah, on the Mikey meter?
Yeah. Is that better than you guys thought it'd be?
Well, it depends what it's on. Is the scale 50?
A thousand.
It was a lot higher than a 7.3. Then I got to the ending and it was infuriating. Love thaws all or whatever. That drove me crazy. We'll get to that in a second.
What, did you want her to stay frozen forever?
No, but don't give me the stupid magic love thaws all. Give me some kind of scientific thing. I want science.
Yeah, what is this, a Disney movie?
Yeah, these are for 5-year-olds, man.
Hold on. So
he wants Neil deGrasse Tyson to pop in and be like, actually, in order to raise the temperature of the ice.
All right, but I got a big question here that I'm assuming someone has the answer to. This doesn't make any sense to me. This bothered me the whole movie. So the girl's got her hands are frozen, and she's got things shooting out. She shot her sister in the head.
Whoa. What's going on in Frozen?
Now you're interested.
Facts? Okay.
So they're not mad at her, but she's got these powers, and so they're like, listen, we're going to put you in your room, we're going to lock the door, just forget about you. Why on earth did they have to lock the little one up too? Why couldn't the little one go out to the world?
So this is the second time now, so we're seeing a recurring theme with your reviews. You do not like collateral damage at all. It was in Beauty and the Beast, I think, that was your big gripe too.
Yeah.
Everybody was paying the price for love.
Yeah, exactly. Uh-huh. Why? But it didn't make any sense. Why can she not go outside? She don't have any frozen hands.
I'll tell you why. Because you saw everyone's reaction when they found out that Elsa had frozen hands. They called her a traitor. They tried to usurp the throne. If Anna had gone out as a child and told people that Elsa had frozen hands, they would come and take Elsa away.
But that was before they changed her memory thing. Mm-hmm. Like, she didn't know anymore. She thought they were just building snowmen out in the snow.
She just thought her sister hated her.
This is outrageous now.
So what is going on there? And I can't believe no one has an answer. I thought that I might have just missed something. Big plot hole. Really drove me crazy.
It's the
whole time.
It's the plot holes that drive
him crazy. Even in Disney movies, okay?
Another big complaint. Hey, can we just have a good argument without singing? They met up in the ice castle, and they had to sing their arguments at each other. Hey, can I just enjoy a good argument without all the songs?
I actually love this idea, okay? Kristen, I think the next time you and Bart get into an argument,
yes,
you just have to start breaking out song. I think that would break the ice, make him laugh, argument, on its way over.
Break the ice or break her marriage.
Neither one of us can sing, so.
That's even better.
I just think singing, to clear a debate would be a pretty funny way to start to de-escalate it.
My favorite character, I wanted so bad to hate the snowman. He's just too likable.
Oh,
everyone likes him too much, and so I'm like, I wanted to not like him. I couldn't help myself. Also, for two girls who have been locked up in their rooms for their whole lives, hey, pretty charming whenever they go out into the world. That drove me crazy, too. It's like, yeah, you can have a little bit of social awkwardness, maybe.
Yeah, and also, they should be pastier than they are.
Yeah, a little bit.
But the social awkwardness is legit.
Yeah, well, overall, pretty good movie. I hate Love Thaws All, though. Terrible.
Just not accurate for you. Okay. No.
The Burt Show.
Talk so much about Hollywood and celebrities on this show that I love what Kristen Bell said the other day. First of all, I started falling in love with her as soon as I saw Forgetting Sarah Marshall. God, I love that movie and I love that character, right? And every time she's in an interview or every time I listen to a podcast with Dak and she are on it, she just seems like such a down-to-earth person.
Mm-hmm.
I just love her to death, right? So she, on Instagram, I think the other day, or maybe it was on TikTok, really spelled it out what we already know, that Hollywood and what you see, what you even see them in interviews, none of it is real.
It would be surprising to know that everyone in Hollywood is insecure. And most people at most times are just trying their best. I think the glitz and glamour can kind of be mistaken for perfection, but it has to be recognized, like, there's a whole team of people in this room. There's a team of people that did my hair and makeup like this, who pressed this outfit. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 people in this room making this possible with lights. So that needs to be considered, that this perfection that you're seeing in this box is all manufactured. And I am insecure while talking to this camera, because I'm not sure if what I'm gonna say will have any value. To keep all my insecurities at bay, I live by a rule the late, the great Eleanor Roosevelt once said, which is, no one can make you feel inferior without your consent.
Mm-hmm.
And when I heard that, it was like this light bulb went off in my head. Like, I was like, oh, I'm an active participant in this relationship of comparison or whatever it is. And if I don't consent, then I don't need to feel insecure or inferior. And that was a game changer for me.
Isn't that awesome?
Ooh, that's
an aha moment right there.
Right?
Yeah.
She always has little nuggets like this because she's always sort of really super down to earth. But she's just saying what we also already know. You know, like, just because they're on a screen, right? A big screen or a little screen or whatever, they're celebrity. They're no different than us. Zero. Same problems, same insecurities. We just put them on a pedestal.
It's refreshing to hear it from someone on the other side of it, in her position, but that level of transparency is so rare.
It's nice.
It's nice.
It's really nice. All right, we call it Follow-Up Thursday for a reason. You guys hit us up and you're like, yo, Burt Show, whatever happened to blank? Abby, why don't you take it from here?
All right, so Kennedy was a single mom in a new relationship, and her daughter had an upcoming daddy-daughter dance, but her biological father wasn't in the picture to take her. So we helped Kennedy ask her boyfriend if he would be open to taking her daughter. Not only did he say yes, he planned the perfect surprise for Kennedy's daughter. He decorated their living room with balloons, purchased her daughter's favorite cupcakes, and got down on one knee to properly ask to take her daughter to the dance. It was the sweetest gesture ever. Last we heard, they were planning to take her daughter dress shopping before the dance. So how did it go?
Update. Hey, guys. I don't even know where to start with this update. The night was, in the words of my daughter, the coolest thing ever.
Aww.
We took Kristen's suggestion and found a tie to match my daughter's dress. On the day of the dance, my boyfriend arrived with a cute corsage before taking her out to our favorite restaurant. Even though I wanted to tag along, I decided to let them enjoy their one-on-one time. If my boyfriend is going to be in my life for the foreseeable future, I wanted to see how he handled building a relationship with my daughter. So I sat at home, eagerly waiting for their return. As soon as my daughter opened the door, she ran to me with the biggest smile on her face. She showed me adorable pictures they took together and went on and on about how amazing the dance was. My boyfriend said he had a great time as well. Since that night, those two have become closer than I expected in such a short amount of time. I couldn't have asked for a better outcome Thanks again for all of your help.
This is how it's supposed to work.
It is.
Right? When you introduce somebody into your life that's going to be around your kid for a long time, this is what you want, over the top.
I know, and it's nice to have a little happy ending instead of, hey guys, so you know that really great thing that was happening? Well, turns out that guy was a lying D-bag, and he actually just pretended he was going to be super nice and then turned out to be a big cheater. So I'm so happy for you and for love that it exists out there and that this is a situation that ended with a nice little bow on it.
If you're a person that has a child and you're on the dating scene, you want the person, obviously, once you get to a certain level of intimacy in your relationship, you want that person to step up not only for you, but also for your child. Mm-hmm. Like, you guys are a package deal. Like, that's just how it is. So the fact that he went above and beyond to make her daughter feel special, I'm sure for her, like, that's just an extension of making her feel special as well.
I think this could have been predicted. I mean, just the fact that he was eager to do this could have been predicted. It was going to be awesome.
And shout out for her for, like, just playing it in the back and letting it happen, because I don't have kids, but I imagine that first time is really difficult to do that.
Mm-hmm. No doubt.
The Bert Show.
Spring is giving fresh start vibes. Like, suddenly you want to open the windows, drink more water, and maybe act like you have your life together. But when dinner rolls around and you're this close to ordering takeout again, ButcherBox can help. They deliver premium, clean protein straight to your door. No antibiotics, no added hormones, no mystery ingredients. Just real food that actually fuels your body instead of slowing it down. Effortless glow-up energy. But make it dinner. For over a decade, ButcherBox has led the industry with meat and seafood that's antibiotic-free, hormone-free, and independently verified. Because when it comes to fueling your body, quality isn't extra. It's everything. Clean, whole protein means better support for strength, metabolism, and that steady, all-day energy we're all chasing. As an exclusive offer, new listeners can get their choice between chicken breast or top sirloin for a year, or ground beef for life. Plus $20 off when you go to butcherbox.com/pods. That's right, your choice of chicken breast or top sirloin for a year, or ground beef for life. Plus $20 off your first box and free shipping always. That's butcherbox.com/pods. Don't forget to use our link so they know that we sent you.
Some crimes are never forgotten. Others are lost to history. Those are the ones we focus on in Crimes of the Centuries, a history meets true crime podcast revisiting murders, trials, and frauds that once dominated headlines. I'm Amber Hunt, your host and a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. If you like true crime that feels both cinematic and historical, find Crimes of the Centuries wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, producer Amber is going through it this week for good reason. That's for sure.
Yes. It is. You know, it has been a year since my mom. It's been a year since my mom passed away.
The show, by the way, is on a really nice streak of crying every day.
I love it.
It's like 5 or 6 days now. At least somebody has to break some tears on this show. So it's your turn
today.
Let
it be me. It's usually Cassie, but it's my turn. Sit down, redhead. I got this. So last year of October 25th was the day that my mother passed away from ovarian cancer. And I got to tell you, this whole year has gone by painfully and emotionally quickly, which is kind of strange. I thought it would go by very slowly. And the holidays are coming up, as we all know. We've got Thanksgiving, we got Christmas, both holidays that she loved, especially Christmas. And so I will say that had it not been for this show, it would have been a lot harder to get through the last year, because what we do is so much fun. We're able to make other people laugh, and that is its medicine of its own. Laughter for me really is medicine. And so I've been able to get through it a lot easier. But I got to tell you, going a whole year without seeing her face and getting her hugs, it's been real hard. And I know a lot of people, like, they tell, they think it's going to get better as time goes by. But I remember hearing you talk about your father, Kristen, before my mother passed. And I remember thinking to myself, maybe it gets easier as time goes by. But until you experience that kind of pain, that kind of loss, you don't get it.
It doesn't. Grief doesn't get easier. You get stronger.
Yeah.
It's one of those things. And that the anniversaries are really, really hard.
Ugh.
And like even like the time leading up to it, because like the body keeps score, right? So everything you were going through last year with your mom leading up to her passing, your body's reliving it.
Yeah.
And you can actually feel it like on a cellular level. It's really, really weird and messed up. So I'm sure this, you know, leading up to tomorrow, which is going to be a heavy day and a hard day, you just have to allow yourself to feel it, because there is no other way to get through it.
Yeah, and I would like to say that, because I tend to use humor as a way to cope with literally everything, whether I'm uncomfortable, sad, mad, whatever. It's just my go-to. And so sometimes it feels wrong to let those emotions come out. I feel a little embarrassed and vulnerable because I do not like people seeing me this way.
I'm here to tell, there's no right or wrong way to grieve, okay? There's only your way and what you need to do to cope with the loss, okay? And so if that's interjecting some humor, then that's totally fine. And I mean, obviously, you had such a beautiful relationship with your mother. She loved you so much. She knew you from the inside out, that I'm sure she probably appreciates you in some capacity interjecting some humor into it, because yeah. She wants you to be okay. Yeah. And there is no really being okay when you lose somebody super significant. I'm not the only one to go through this. You're not the only one to go through this. I think what people need to really remember, like, there are certain emotions that are universal. And unless you have zero connection with any person on this earth, every single one of us will experience grief at some point in time.
Oh, yeah.
So I feel like love is universal for the most part, and grief is universal for the most part. So hopefully knowing that can help, but also knowing that it does not get easier, which is a hard thing to hear, but you do get stronger.
I'm curious, because I didn't have the relationship with my dad, not nearly what you have with your mom. We got very close in the last 6 months of his life, but even then, like after he passed, like your body and mind, it's kind of so confusing, because I remember thinking to myself, even after he passed away, it's like, oh, you know what? I should call my dad today. And yeah. Then I'm like, oh, I can't. He's not around anymore. Have you gotten to that point yet?
Oh, so many times. For instance, when we went to the Pride Parade, this was a couple of weeks ago. A year ago, when I came back from the Pride Parade, when we were doing the Barbie thing, that's when she told me that it was cancer and it wasn't good and it was acting fast. So when the Pride Parade came back around, I wanted to tell her when I got there, because the people I used to work for, Kroger, they actually were the float behind us. And I always said that was so funny, because that was the job I had before this one. And I wanted to call her and be like, Mom, you won't believe it. Kroger's behind me again. And I realized I can't call her.
Yeah,
and it just... The funniest things, the smallest things, the biggest things that I would go to her for, I can't. And I'm trying to do that with my dad, but he's not an emotional guy. Like, he loves me and he's there, but it's not the same, you know? And so I've been desperately trying to, I don't want to say find a replacement, but I haven't found that person that I feel like I can just... I don't think I will. It's my mom.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah, you're asking for the impossible, especially because it was such a special relationship. I'm sorry for your pain this week.
Sorry, Amber.
Appreciate you guys.
It's the Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
So I've been watching Are You Smarter Than a Celebrity? Which, by the way, I said this last week. I'll say it again this week. Travis Kelce, surprisingly, very good game show host.
See, I would say the same thing, but without the surprisingly. I feel like this guy was made for the entertainment business. He just has that... chutzpah. He has the charm, the charisma, the face, the celebrity girlfriend. I'm not shocked by this at all.
Big attitude, always looking for fun. It's been a really, really fun game show to watch. And I realized as I was watching it that game shows, I think, fall into certain categories. And this one is the one that I can appreciate, because Are You Smarter Than a Celebrity, for me, falls under low to mid intelligence friendly game shows.
Okay.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
I think I would put Price is Right up there also. You don't got to be smart to play that game.
Yep.
Mm. Low to mid intelligence friendly game show.
Jeopardy on the high end of
high
intelligence.
End. Okay, here's where we're going with this. I avoid Jeopardy because I feel stupid every time I play.
Hey, as long as I get one question right.
That's it.
I feel like I have conquered the world.
You should really turn the TV off once you get one right.
I just wait for them to get to sports. Right. I excel there.
But I do know that they dumb down Jeopardy for celebrities. Because I know celebrities aren't as smart as Ken Jennings, is that his name?
Mm-hmm.
And all those dudes. So what I have done here is I have found a list of questions that they used on Celebrity Jeopardy. And let's see how you guys do.
Oh.
Okay? Mm-hmm. I'm going to go around the room.
The celebrities on Celebrity Jeopardy, though, are still, they're still really intelligent.
Are they? Who do they even have on? I don't even know.
I don't remember, but I know they're smart.
You're just making excuses before I even hand you the question.
Well, duh.
All right, Kristen, you can go first.
Great.
All right, yeah. This one seems easy. Organic chemistry. Organic chemistry for 100 from Celebrity Jeopardy. You can breathe easy knowing photosynthesis causes plants to release this gas as a waste product. Is it carbon dioxide? Is it oxygen? Is it nitrogen? Is it methane?
I'm glad we got options. It's not methane, because I know when cows fart, that's what gets released into the atmosphere, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah! All right. Carbon dioxide.
Carbon dioxide is absolutely wrong. It's oxygen.
Okay.
Because trees help us breathe.
Yes, they do.
See, Cassie's the one contestant on the show. Uh-huh. That would add to the answer just to show how smart she is.
I'll get my question wrong 1,000%. I suck at Jeopardy.
All right, let's go with you. The terminal list for 100. Again, these are the most basic on Celebrity Jeopardy, because these are the hundreds. 250,000 people a day commute through this terminal at Park Avenue and 42nd Street. The station, and that's in quotes, station, I'm trying to give you a hint, is where you get the subway down below. Is it Grand Central Terminal? Is it Penn Station Terminal? Is it Union Square Terminal? Is it Brooklyn Bridge City Hall Terminal?
I'm going to go with Grand Central.
Mo?
Grand Central is right.
Grand Central is right. Yeah, no,
I certainly wish you would have asked me that one.
Same, because I took my mom there and I knew that one.
All right, Mo. Yep. Again, these are questions on Celebrity Jeopardy, where they dumb it down for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
Above, below, or intersected by the equator for 100.
He hates you.
Okay. Right. Above, below, or intersected by the equator for 100, China. Above, below, intersected by.
Above.
Above is right.
Hey! Hey!
Oh, man, this could not, I didn't plan this, but this could not have ended better. This is called, this category was also a Taylor Swift song for 200. I know.
Are you serious?
I swear I didn't plan it that way.
You gave me organic chemistry. Screw you.
Yeah. I was like, you gave the wrong question. Kristen should have gotten the New York, the New York one. I could have done the Orgo one. And Abby, you got your Taylor.
Well, fire me up. I got a PhD in Swiftism.
All right. Again, also a Taylor Swift song for 200. Careful! Exclamation point. This washing machine cycle using coal.
Delicate.
Okay.
Hey.
Woo!
Damn.
You are right. Okay. All right, now we're up to the 200s. We'll go through this rapid fire. You ready?
Yeah.
This is right up your alley.
I couldn't get out when it was good.
Main attractions for 200.
Mm-hmm.
Maine, as in the state of Maine.
Okay.
How many times you been?
Once.
Oh, you have?
I have.
Okay. For wildlife lovers, Maine offers safaris to spot this large mammal featured on its flag. Is it elk, deer, pigs, or moose?
Moose.
Moose is right.
Yay! Yay!
Do you want to skip right to the really, really, really tough ones?
No.
No?
Okay.
It's actually nice getting them right.
Right. Cassie, peak TV for 200. Due to a mix-up, the giant robot doll from this South Korean series was briefly displayed in front of a museum. Is it Black Mirror? Is it One Piece? Is it Squid Game? Is it The Queen's Gambit?
Squid Game.
Squid Game is right.
Boom.
Okay.
Yay.
We're not dumb.
I mean, The Queen's Gambit is not a Korean
right.
Thanks.
Nah, give me an extra hard one so if I get it wrong, I can feel better about myself.
World Capital Attractions for 200. In this city, if you're in the mood for piazza, try the Navarona or the Santa Maria. Milan, Florence, Rome, or Venice?
Wow.
Did you say, was it supposed to be pizza or like a piazza?
It says piazza.
I feel like that's a clue.
Is it?
Milan, he says, and that is wrong. Wrong. All right, and the final question.
Wait, I don't get to know the answer?
Oh, sorry about that. The answer is Rome.
Okay.
Okay, final question for Abby. Spell Taylor Swift's name.
T-A.
Queen Elizabeth II for 200. Celebrity Jeopardy question. On September 8th, 2022, after 70 years on the throne, the Queen passed away at Balmoral Castle in this UK country.
Oh, Scotland.
Yay!
Scotland is correct!
Yay!
We ain't that dumb!
Smart out here.
That should be the name of our game show. We ain't that dumb.
Get it? The Burt Show.
Some crimes are never forgotten. Others are lost to history. Those are the ones we focus on in Crimes of the Centuries, a history meets true crime podcast revisiting murders, trials, and frauds that once dominated headlines. I'm Amber Hunt, your host and a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. If you like true crime that feels both cinematic and historical, find Crimes of the Centuries wherever you get your podcasts.